Greetings and welcome to The Missions Show, where we explore your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined for another engaging and giddy gallivanting through the winding byways of missiology by the one and only Pastor Scott Dunford, or as I like to call him, Scotty Boy Dunford, of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And we are also joined today by a guest whom we'll introduce in just a moment. Wherever you're watching or listening from, especially if you are one of our podcast listeners, please leave the show a positive review and a five-star rating in your podcast app so other people can discover the content and be blessed and encouraged by it. And Scott, maybe they'll even develop a little bit more grit after today's conversation. You know, at the time of this recording, it was not but a week or two ago that we had some controversial and some headline-making events happening at a church in Minneapolis, a church where some of our guests, including one of our more recent guests, Joe Rigney, had connections there as well. But you know what I saw at this event where Don Lemon and these protesters come into this church, and Don Lemon is getting into the face and invading the personal space of the pastor, Jonathan Parnell, and he's pressing him, and he's obviously trying to get a reaction, and he's asking him these political questions in the middle of what was the service that was interrupted. And Scott, what struck me so much was Pastor Jonathan Parnell's unflappable attitude, where he doesn't answer the political questions, and he just says, "We're here to worship Christ." And I see that resoluteness, I see that North Star clear focus on proclaiming Christ and not getting caught up in this or that over here, over there. And that's what I see we need as far as Christian leaders are concerned in the present cultural context. I look around and I don't see a lot of gritty leaders like that. Scott, maybe you in the Bay Area are just surrounded by gritty Christian leaders all around you. Something tells me, though, that as we look out on our contexts, we're looking for more gritty Christians, especially Christian men, both in the church space and the mission space, right?
Well, yeah, and I'd say that takes some kind of grit. Certainly when the pressure comes, but when the spotlights are on and the intensity is ramped up, a lot of us find grit, maybe not all of us, but I think I don't struggle in those moments. I find grit in the mundane. Hmm. I find it tough to be gritty when no one's paying attention, when it doesn't seem like anyone's noticing what you're doing. And so I think we need both kinds of leaders. You know, we need leaders that respond to the high pressure spotlight positions, but also how do we just maintain ministry? And so I'm excited to have a guest on today that is an old friend of our show, but also an old friend of ours and someone I've known, I don't know how many years now. I think we're getting close to 20, Kyle, that you and I around the same orbit. But Kyle Ferran is a missionary. Ferran is a missionary with ABWE. He's the executive director, regional director for Western Europe, and served really in some difficult places and doing some difficult things. And he's the author of a new book called Godly Grit, The Unshakable Resilience and Grit for Life and Ministry. Kyle, we're so glad to have you back on the show.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, Scott, you make a good observation there. It's not just grit in these big determinative moments. It's also grit in the day-to-day. So Kyle, just off the bat, I'm curious your take on that. We need grit. We need to be unshakable. But what for? Is it more for the mundane that you think that we need to recover that that lost virtue? Joe Rigney, again, he writes about leaders with nerve. I think nerve is a good descriptor for that. Is that what you're describing in these big moments of conflagration, or more in the day to day? And what types of situations do you see testing leaders right now in the church and on the mission field where you serve?
So I think the key part to grit and resilience really does come down to that foundational day-to-day living in a way that is trusting in the Lord, is unflappable in the small things, because then when the big things hit, you've learned grit and resilience. I think that's been something that's been a growing process for me, is just realizing that grit and resilience is earned, not learned. You have to just earn it day by day. just as you go through life with through difficulties and in the small things. It's through the mundane things as we handle them. You know, if we can't handle getting cut off in traffic, mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to handle someone walking into our church like that. We need to be able to handle the small things well and walk with Christ through those things and to be able to see all of the challenges, whether they be big or little, through the same lens that, you know, God's using these things. He's working in us to be sanctifying us, to be using us for his glory. And around us, we're going to be facing those challenges, those conflicts, difficult decisions. And those are going to be the things that are going to be building that grit and resilience day by day. It's just kind of like, and Alex, I know you go to the gym. I've been exercising for 30 plus years. You don't get stronger by looking at the weights, and you don't get stronger by doing just little things either. Like, you have to do hard things.
Right.
And so day by day, as we face those hard things, physically, that's what makes us stronger. And spiritually, that's what grows our grit, is actually doing hard things and going through difficulties, whether they be small, big, whatever. But those are going to build us and grow us to become the people God wants us to be. You don't grow an oak tree overnight.
Right. And you don't grow without resistance. Yeah, just like exactly. in the gym, that applies to all of life. Mm-hmm. Scott, it's funny, at the beginning you mentioned, you know, you struggle maybe with grittiness in the very mundane things. Sometimes I feel like I'm the opposite. Maybe it's the big things that I might struggle with. It's the small things, the little routines, you know, the atomic habits, where I personally feel like I'm more consistent in putting in the reps on those. So maybe some of this is personality. Kyle, how do you see personality filtering into that? And then Scott, I'm curious how you see that happening as well. Are we running into guys that are maybe too gritty and they need to smoothen out? Kyle, how does personality figure into this? Where does resilience actually come from? Is it more of a personality trait, or is it like what we're talking about? You have to decide to develop it through adversity in ministry in particular.
Personality does affect like how we come across, but you can be gritty and quiet, and you can be gritty and boisterous. So I don't think grit really comes down to necessarily personality, but really just comes down to, what are we trusting in? What are we truly relying in and being able to walk through that adversity? When I was writing this book, we were in Portugal, and we have a lot of castles and fortresses around us. And I actually started writing the book one time when I was out in some ruins of a fortress that there in Portugal, where Napoleon had started to attack. But one thing that struck me is, you think about a fortress, the strength isn't in ourself. Like, you're inside the fortress, and you read those passages in Psalms where God is our fortress and our strength. The strength isn't in ourself. It's something outside of ourself. And so I think that's what's really different about spiritual grit versus maybe like a worldly grit, or what we think of a lot of times when we use the term grit and resilience. There's a lot of carryover, but when you apply it spiritually, the source of that strength, it's not ourselves, it's God. And it's just like that fortress around us. We're trusting in something outside of ourselves. So it's not like pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps type thing to be strong and gritty. It's a shift to be able to put our full, complete dependence on the Lord. And that's just such a different take on grit than what's around us in the world. And our faith really, I think a key part to that is that our faith has to be looking not just at an approval of what God's plan is, but in who God is himself. And that's such a key part to that, is that we have to, for grit to be truly reliant and unmovable, we have to be looking at a person, not just what we approve as a plan. Just an example that we were in South Africa going through the game park, and we would often do game drives through the game park there. And we came up over a ridge, and there in a field, there was a black rhino. And the black rhinos perpetually wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And this one just looked up, and from 40 yards out, just started in a full sprint towards our 4x4. Now, I had about a year before that, I had read a motorcycle safety book, and I had read in this motorcycle safety book that if a dog chases you, you are to not speed up. You're supposed to go really, really slow until it gets close and let it kind of fixate on which position you're going to be in. And then at the last second, you speed up. And so I saw, hey, 30-pound dog, 3,000-pound rhino, same trigonometry. I'm just going to putz along here and wait for it to get close. And so I did, 20 yards out, 10 yards out. This thing is just coming full steam. My wife and kids are freaking out in the car because I haven't had time to explain this. All I said was, I've got this. And I just keep putzing along. They're freaking out, jumping over seats. And the last 10 yards or so, I sped up and this thing slid past us, missed us by just a few yards. I use that as an example because, while I didn't know, I only have very limited knowledge, but I had a little bit more knowledge than my wife and my kids did. And I needed them to trust me in that moment. And so many times God doesn't give us the full picture of what's going on. He doesn't explain what's going on. He just says, trust me. And that's what he wants of us. And when we look at when our faith is resting in who he is, not just in our approval of the plan, because I didn't give my family the updated plan, that's what he wants of us, to be truly gritty. We have to be able to look at him and be able to trust that he is in control. And a passage that's just been so powerful for me recently in Psalm 112, 6-8, it says, for the righteous will never be moved. He'll be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid. And that just hit me so hard, just that phrase of he's not afraid of bad news. And then it says why. He says his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. So if our heart is trusting in the Lord, when bad news comes, and especially for leaders, if you've been in leadership at any length of time, you know that you're going to just get kind of dumped on with bad news a lot of times. And how are we going to respond to that? How are we going to respond in a way that is just in peace, that, hey, you know what? I don't understand I don't know what's going on, but I know who's in control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we truly trust in that, that allows us to have that grit. And what's so powerful about it is that's what people are watching. Like we're able to demonstrate that before others. And that's what true leadership is showing people that relationship that we can have and trust in God.
Here at ABWE, we believe that the Great Commission is given not to nonprofit agencies, not to governments, not just to individuals, but to the local church. The local church is God's plan A for world missions. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time your church had just a missions-themed service, but an intentional time of seeking the Lord, asking, Lord, who is it from among our midst that you would have us to send out? Well, that's why our team here has built a wonderful collection of resources called Send Sunday. You can have not just another Mission Sunday, but an intentional time of seeking the Lord, waiting upon him, and seeking his direction for who he might send out from your church. There's prayer guides, there's bulletin inserts, there's sermon study guides, and more, all at abwe.org/sendsunday. Join the hundreds of other churches asking the Lord, who would you send out from our midst? Join us for Send Sunday. And if people know your story, they know that this isn't theoretical. You've ministered to AIDS affected communities in East Africa, even prior to serving now, overseeing Western Europe. I mean, you've been in some difficult ministry places. And Scott, so have you as well. We've talked about it, of course, recurringly on the show. But Scott, I'd love to hear just from your reflections serving in Asia. I know there are specific, and in the States, honestly, it's in the States as well, times in which specific trials have developed a sort of grit and tenacity, and not just in you, but in your family as well. That's one of the other elements of this conversation we have to keep in mind. Sometimes we can roll with the punches, especially as men, heads of our households. Our wives handle those punches differently when they come to us in ministry. And so part of godly grit is recognizing not only your capacity and leaning into discomfort, but knowing how to lead your family through that as well, and do that while constantly pointing to Christ, right, Scott?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, going along with this, like there's two components. One is courage. And I think courage hits you in those moments that are real, you know, really tense. And it takes, you know, a lot of fortitude to fight. But there are some personalities, and I think I have one, that like, I'm down for a fight. Like, you know, as far as, especially when you're dealing with like ministry things and like, okay, let's, you know, this is going to take some difficulty. It's going to, you know, it's going to take some time. And, you know, so whether that was in leadership at ABWE, where we went through some difficult times while I was there, or on the field where, hey, you know, maybe it's your leadership that is questioning the vision that you and your team feel like God's called you to, you know, or maybe it's coming from outside sources where people are being kicked out of the country, or you're facing spiritual opposition from religious leaders or whatever that might be, where you get up for that because there's adrenaline there, your fighting or flight instinct kicks in. And when the spotlight's on, you find, like, for some of us, that's just the natural, our natural response. Like, we're in it. But it's when the spotlight's down, the emotions go away, where people aren't all eyes on you, and, you know, you people are attacking you, but also encouraging you from behind, where I think that character that's formed by the Holy Spirit that I think Kyle was talking about has to be developed. Like, are we content with the plodding, you know, like a William Carey talked about, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where, you know, some of us don't like the intensity of the courage moment, and others don't like the grind of the character building monotony of just faithful service and obedience. But really, we need to have both as godly leaders. We need to be ready for that fight when it does come to us. But also, that is also formed out of a character that says, hey, I'm also content to do the hard, right thing every single day, whether that's discipline of prayer, physical discipline, of course, that fuels our ability to be mm-hmm. Holy spiritually, or disciplines in the word, care of people. You know, in ministry, you do have a number of pastors and leaders and missionaries who love the spotlight. They chase the spotlight, but in their own personal lives, they have not developed that kind of like true, not John Wayne grit, but true spiritual grit. And let me just add one more thing to that. And like scripturally, we get these punctuated stories of like the life of Moses, you know, like, well, look what all the Moses did. He went to this and he did this and did this. Then we forget that like, this is over like 80 years of this happening, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years tending sheep, 40 years with the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you forget that like, there was a long period of time when nothing really exciting is happening, where God's just shaping the character of Moses. So he can be ready for those heroic moments. And, I mean, I definitely have seen God working in my life in that way. And I'm sure that, you know, as Kyle's sharing that, and as you've experienced, Alex, I mean, that's just part of, like, I think, growth in Christ.
And I think what both sides of that coin have in common, whether it's the grit and tenacity necessary to put in the reps each day in ordinary, mundane ways, or the other side of being ready for that big climactic moment of confrontation or where courage is necessary, what both of those callings and responsibilities have in common is that we cannot avoid hard things. And Kyle, that's where my mind goes next. It seems like if we're going to boil grit down to anything, it's the refusal to avoid hard things. And I can just tell you, and I'm sure we can all think of examples as well, but there's nothing that I enjoy less, you know, as I think back to past jobs and ministries and church settings. It's very difficult to be under a leader that avoids hard things, that is setting an example of passivity rather than actively embracing what Teddy Roosevelt called the strenuous life, right? I think that's kind of a stoic ideal, but also I think a biblical one. I think you can defend that as well. So, Kyle, talk to us. How do we lean into adversity? How do we make sure that we don't avoid doing hard things, but that we especially embrace them? And why is that so dangerous if somebody is just wired towards passivity? I mean, I think of our first father, Adam. I mean, his sin in the garden was one of passivity, but there's many other consequences to going down that trail as well, right?
For me, was this a huge shift? It was learning to expect hardships. And I realized that for me, so many times where the struggle was that I was hoping for or maybe expecting that, you know, every now and then we should get a little bit of let up here and not have the challenges. And what I found that the result of that was that it set me up for failure. It set me up for disappointment. And there was a Haitian proverb I came across that said, behind mountains are more mountains. And I realized that so many times I was hoping
for... A very optimistic people.
yeah, evidently. But a realistic one. And, you know, you look at scripture though too, where it says, you know, in this world, you'll have tribulation. That reminder that you're gonna face difficulties. And when we can come to grips with that, it changes our perspective on those challenges that, okay, hey, this is part of life. It's kind of like, you know, going back to the gym illustration or exercise. You know, if we walked in the gym and you were like, hey, you know what the problem with this gym is? If these weights are just too heavy. We need to change them all out for little pink Barbie weights. And then everyone will feel really happy about themselves, but no one will get any stronger. Because we need those challenges. We need that adversity to actually grow stronger. And without it, we grow weak. There was another illustration I found really interesting in the Biosphere 2 they had years ago in the 90s or something like that down in Arizona, where they had this huge biosphere and they planted all these trees in it. But after a while, all these trees, they grew really quick, but then they fell over because they had never developed what they call like stress wood, which is only developed when there's actual stress. And so that change of perspective for me has been so pivotal, because it's just realizing that I need challenges. Personally, I need challenges. And secondly, that's what God uses so many times. As you look at, you go through the Old Testament, and we're always saying, oh, you know, I'd like to be like David or Joseph or whatever. But when you look at the challenges that God put them through, those challenges were what God used to open the doors for his glory to be seen. Because while it requires grit for us, we have to remember that those problems had to take those individuals to the absolute end of themselves and far beyond it, so that it was clear to them and to everyone else around them that only God deserved the glory for that. And I think that is a really key foundational part to true grit, is understanding that the challenges that God brings into our life are part of his plan to put his glory on display in the greatest possible way. Mm-hmm. So if we understand that, it helps us to see that, you know what? I don't know what God's doing, but I know he has a plan. And it's the same God that split the Red Sea, that sent Israel taking the, you know, a wrong turn, it looked like, to back them up against the sea so that his glory would be seen. And he does that to us over and over and over again. He puts us in situations where there's no way we can get out of it ourselves. It's what he did with Gideon, you know, so that Israel would not boast over him. He reduced the army down to nothing.
And I think what's needed is to connect, because no one would disagree. No believer in Christ would disagree with anything that you're saying. Those are obviously true things, that God ordains suffering, and that the way out is through. And at the same time, we do have, I think generationally, multiple generations of Christian pastors, leaders of institutions, missionaries, for whom the diagnosis really is a failure of nerve, that there's a theoretical recognition of these principles, but that when it practically comes time to say no, for instance, in a church setting, to some toxic individual, that we tend to crumble under that sort of pressure. And so, Scott, I want to kick it to you. And, you know, as we begin to round the corner for the final lap here, briefly, Scott, exhort our listeners, especially those that are practitioners of the Great Commission in ministry on the mission field or even in their local churches, as to how they can actually apply this grit principle that Kyle's been talking to us, and not shrink back from those opportunities when they come.
Yeah, I would just add, you know, a couple thoughts to that. One is you don't want to develop this pessimistic mentality that bad things are always about ready to happen. And I've been there. And I still sometimes struggle with that when you go through really hard things. And I think it goes to what Kyle was just saying of like how to whether the next bend is going to bring difficulty or whether it's going to bring more and more blessing. I've got to trust that it's coming from God's good hand, which is designed for my sanctification, Christ-likeness, and the formation of his people. You know, because otherwise you do meet missionaries, and I'm sure Kyle, you probably can't say their names, but you know some that are just perpetually pessimistic. They're so down because of all the bad things that have happened, and we don't want to get like that. But I think if we keep it in balance that this is from God for our good, then we can see even the negative things as ultimately being good. I would say one of the hardest challenges for me has been misunderstanding some of the things I'm feeling in the moment, you know, where I feel bored or where I feel like I'm not being effective anymore and God must be leading me somewhere else. Sometimes is mistaking exhaustion for the Spirit's leading, you know? And so I think part of grit is learning, hey, you're tired, take a break. Hey, like ministry does get a little boring. You need to take a pause here and recognize this tendency that you have within you. And I've learning as I've been in ministry now for 25 years in full-time ministry, like, okay, there's these rhythms and these patterns that I can see in myself that I've got to push through. And I think that's part of grit, godly grit, is learning yourself and where your areas of temptation can be. And I appreciate Kyle, your grit and your long time in ministry and being able to watch it in near proximity, but not ever really serving in the same field together. Really, really thankful for what God's done in your life and in Heather's life as well.
So Kyle, we have about a minute or two. Give us your brief final charge, but then also remind people where they can get a hold of the book you've written on this topic, which is Godly Grit, Unshakable Resilience and Grit for Life and Ministry.
Yeah, I think the encouragement there would be just the reminder that oak trees aren't grown overnight. It's going to take time and diligence, but keeping our perspective on the Lord through those hard times, like that passage from Psalm 112, to not be afraid of trusting in the Lord, really understanding that as we trust in the Lord, that will completely change that, or that should completely change how we even deal with things emotionally. Leadership is far, far more than just knowing the right thing to do. It's having the courage and the resilience and the grit to be able to do those hard things, to have those, like you said, those hard conversations. And those are the times where you really see God working and giving that the ability to push through that. But having the right perspective is really the key there. And that in the book, I unpack about 26 of those different perspectives that as we face those daily challenges, making sure that we're looking at them from the right perspective. And that can really help give us the grit that we need to be able to push through.
That's a good note to end on. And you can find out more about the book and figure out how to get a copy at kyleferran.com. For those of you podcast listeners or YouTube viewers, we'll have that link in the show notes. And so make sure you take advantage of that opportunity. And of course, pray for Kyle and Heather and their family as they continue to serve the Lord faithfully as the regional director for Western Europe for ABWE. Now, in our overtime segment today, Scott and I, along with Brian, are going to continue the conversation, and we're going to talk about, for us, how do you know when too much resistance has come, when it actually is time to shift course, shift direction? We don't want to tap out too early, but we don't want to tap out too late. We'll explore that and some of our own personal examples coming up in the overtime segment. If you want to get access to that and more resources, lots of conversations take place behind that paywall. You can go to Missions Podcast, or Missions Show, rather, missions. Actually, both addresses will take you there. I have to retrain myself. missionsshow.com/premium. And for your generous contribution of $9.99 per month to this ministry, not only do you get access to some of that premium content, but you also get access to our group chat, the regular webinars that we do with our subscribers, interacting with you all on camera. And you'll even get a free gift for joining our team. And so each and every one of you who's done that, we're grateful that you took the plunge. Remember, the ministry of the Missions Podcast and Missions Show is a part of the ministry of ABWE. To get more content, go to missionsshow.com. And to learn how to take your next steps in the Great Commission, go to abwe.org. Until our next episode, go make disciples of all the nations.